Welcome, folks, to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Every week, diving deep into the truth of Catholic social teaching and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from Iowa Catholic Radio's Mercy Live Up Studios.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
This is the Doc. Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday, Bud Maher.
Yeah.
I'm coming to you live from Iowa Catholic Radio's Mercy Live Up Studio here in beautiful wintry Des Moines. Bud, what is what's Pittsburgh doing? Are you guys you figured out Antonio Brown stuff yet out there?
It's as dramatic as ever, but like you guys, weirdly, we're bracing for a snowpocalypse this weekend.
Ooh, Three Rivers snowpocalypse! Like, yeah. I guess the French fries are probably just like flying out of the freezers.
Everyone's stocking up on their French fries.
Because a lot of places it's everybody gets bread and milk, which makes no sense when it snows. But I didn't know if you guys were like, oh, we better get pierogies and fries. You don't know how bad the roads are going to be.
That's right, pierogies, coleslaw. Coleslaw, you don't want to be caught in a storm without your coleslaw.
That's fantastic. Oh, man. So I'm the director of Mission and Ministry at Mercy College of Health Sciences and the director of the Zeta Institute for Foundations in Ethics and Leadership. You can catch both of those, mchs.edu or zetainstitute.com. Bud, what do you do in Pittsburgh other than coleslaw?
Yeah, the director of the National Institute for Newman Studies, and we're dedicated to all things Blessed John Henry Newman. You can find us at newmanstudies.org.
So, Bud, the world, you know, it seems like it's going to be, you know, different this time, Bud. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be a wintry wonderland, or it's going to be this, it's going to be that. The Patriots won't make it to the playoffs, or they'll lose in the first round. But no, there they are. They're still there. It's still the Saints. It's basically everyone but the Chiefs, Bud. I really thought the Chiefs would lose the first time because they've done that so consistently. So they're the radical outlier. The Chiefs are in the playoffs second round.
Yeah, I think we still have the opportunity for the Chiefs to fail spectacularly, but it'd be kind of depressing if the Patriots were in the Super Bowl again. I think folks are hoping for like a Rams-Saints game. I don't know, that might feel a little bit much like arena football to me, but we'll take what we can get.
Well, it's funny too, because like we're saying all this about the Patriots, and we have a Patriots fan guest who will come on, so we'll introduce all that and let him have his small say in that arena here after a bit. But we're, as always, brought to you by Cartridge World, 80173rd Street in Windsor Heights. If you need printing needs, Cartridge World has it. So if you've made predictions, for instance, on the NFL playoffs, and they're already going bad, and you need to reprint, you know, your playoff schedule, go buy cartridges at Cartridge World.
Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of the folks at Cartridge World. And, you know, like for myself, whenever I'm dealing with something that I'm not great at, like a cartridge that may have exploded on me when I was trying to swap it out, I want to talk to someone who's not going to shame me. So it's always good to have like a local, a friendly face that you can go to.
Well, you're talking about troubles when you have cartridge troubles. When you have medical trouble, right, what you want to worry about is, do you have not only nurses and affiliated health, allied health aspects covered by people who have the technical knowledge to address your needs? You want people who believe that you are a human, that you have a soul, that you're more than just bags of bone and blood and disease. And at Mercy College of Health Sciences, yeah, who also underwrites our show, we have the new semester well on our way, trying to train people not only to have the technical know-how to solve whatever problem that you find yourself in, but we'll treat you as God intended you to be treated, with the mercy difference.
Well, Bo, if by way of confession, I'm out here in Pittsburgh, and I'm getting all these reports about you guys just like with record enrollment, and maybe it's my own anxieties or neuroses, but I'm like, man, I leave town, and you know, like all of a sudden Mercy is just chugging along.
That's the first thing they call.
Like,
Bud's not there, right? Like, Bud is gone? Okay.
These Iowa kids are like, I heard that weird philosophy professor checked out. It's time to get my education.
Yeah, the story that I always need to tell more about is when I get here and I'm like, hey, Bud, so, you know, do you like where you work at? And he's like, oh, yeah, I got a billboard. So I actually think maybe the turnaround started with you, right? Because what was it, 2015, that the Mercy College of Health Sciences billboards had Bud Maher just with a beaming smile all across town.
Well, I'm good in 2D, but 3D is a different question. do you still, in class, do you still, like, blame me? Like, well, there was this old professor who did things this way, and, like, you know.
Well, I'm doing that now for, like, when someone's like, man, who left this coffee mug out on the floor, got spilled all over, and I'm like, I bet Bud did. And they're like, he hasn't been here for over a year. I'm like, you never know with Bud.
You have this little cardboard cutout of me, like, in the side of your office.
Right. It becomes sort of like this ceremonial things where, like, you know, in Rome, long after Carthage has fell, they always would end their speeches, Carthage must burn. We're always all like, and Bud did it. And then we...
It's like Guy Fawkes Day, except instead of the Pope. It's like Bud and effigy.
I think you're enjoying this too much, Bud. That's good.
You scared me with how, like, detailed and specific your jokes are.
That's all I'm good for. So on the show today, we actually he will now officially become an Uncommon Good All-Star because once you show up on our show more than once, you're an All-Star. So Dave DeLeo, who I've been calling DeLeo for way too long, our buddy who was on last year, he's going to talk about with, you know, you guys, you're both Newman experts. You both work for Newman Things, you, the National Institute of Newman Studies. He is the president of the Newman Idea. The canonization of Newman is coming up. And not only do we want to talk about how exciting that is, but maybe talk about how there's a way in which we pigeonhole saints. And, you know, Newman is a blessed, not even a saint yet. And maybe we've pigeonholed him as like the intellectual type saint. But we really want to talk about the fullness of sanctity using Newman's life and really trying to expand on that. So that's what we're going to talk about today when we get back from these messages. We'll have Dr. Dave DeLeo, works for Holy Cross as a professor as well, but the president of the Newman Idea. So stick around. After we get done with this break, you'll be able to listen to that. This is the Uncommon Good. We'll be back after these messages. But if you have people out there that have pressing questions, not only for Dave, who, as we've already sort of pointed out, is a New England's fan, so maybe you want to question about that before you even get questions to Newman. If you have questions about Snowmageddons and various weather doings or anything about the Uncommon Good, just know you can always use the Zip Whip line. 515-223-1150, 515-223-1150. If you have questions for us, just write in. That's a text line. Just do hashtag UCG for the Uncommon Good. It doesn't even have to be live. You can leave a message for us that we'll answer later on the Zip Whip line. 515-223-1150, 515-223-1150, hashtag UCG. We'll listen to your questions. We'll try to answer them on air. And when we get back, we will talk to Dr. Dave DeLeo, Bud Maher, about Newman, his canonization, and the fullness of holiness. This is the Uncommon Good. We'll be back after this.
Everyone lives their lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How we use that time directly affects if our life will leave a significant impact or not. Every year, Blessment International leads Central Iowans on a 12-day, all-inclusive experience filled with life-changing personal interaction with beautiful African children that they serve. Teams are forming now. Space is limited. Make a decision today to use your time to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more and apply for a trip at blessmentinternational.org.
Hi, this is Marty McDonald with McDonald Imaging Solutions. It has been my joy to support Iowa Catholic Radio's new event tents and the Pope on a Stick fan used at the Iowa State Fair. McDonald Imaging Solutions is a family-owned business with thousands of promotional items to choose from. We do custom labels, printing, branded apparel, and we provide all kinds of promotional products. I personally help any business, big or small, to build their brand with corporate apparel and promo items. McDonald Imaging Solutions, building brands, attracting new customers. Online, McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
Support for the Uncommon Good is provided by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is an industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great.
Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies, including ink, toner, paper, or printers. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement.
Cartridge World, your low-cost, environmentally friendly printing experts. 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online at cartridgeworld.com.
Why give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? To help families who want to send their kids to our Catholic schools and just can't afford it. Some donors like to give part or all of their required minimum distribution from their retirement account. The 65% Iowa tax credit you receive are a tax benefit you just don't want to pass up. Ask your tax advisor or contact us online, ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
back with the Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher with us today in studio, actually. I'm going to start bragging that only the Uncommon Good flies people in from New Orleans. No, I'm kidding. He's here and visiting for other stuff. But we are very delighted to have in studio for the show Dr. Dave Dalio, president of the Newman Idea, faculty member at Holy Cross. Dave, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Hey, great to be here. I guess it was last summer I was on air, and so about six months ago.
Yeah.
And this is Iowa's lucky 44 for me. So when I was a kid, I set out a challenge that I wanted to stay in all 50 states at least one night. And last night was my night, so I got to stay over. And so I have six more states to go. So, but I, you know, because in other words, I never knew why would I go to Iowa. I didn't have any reason, and then I got invited to be on The Uncommon Good.
That's right.
And
that's
I just
reason
said,
enough.
Get me on the airplane, get me to the Greek, you know, because I'm here.
Yeah, so, you know, Bud, of course, you and Bud have got to hang out more because Pittsburgh has all those French fries and has actually flown you out there. You know, who wouldn't want to go for the Pittsburgh world-renowned French fries on salads? But, you know, Bud, we got him biscuits and gravy at Smoky Row. So I think we're doing our best shot here in Iowa.
Well, I hope you warned the city of Des Moines that Dave was coming because Pittsburgh still has not recovered from his visit. When Dave Dalio visits a town, he's not messing around. He's bringing his A game, and he actually knows Pittsburgh better than I do, and I've lived here a year and a half.
You know what? That was the summer I spent 2 weeks at with Bud at NINS, and one of the two best weeks I've had in many years, and I really fell in love with Pittsburgh. I didn't know what to expect, you know. I mean, I was, you know, I don't like the Steelers. I'm a Patriots fan. And, you know, I didn't know, you know, what I was walking into. And I spent more time on the Strip down with all the Italian restaurants and buying stuff in the, you know, the macaroni factory and stuff. It was just such a great place. And, you know, I'm enjoying Des Moines. You know, I got to walk around the city this morning, freezing. It's a balmy 70 in New Orleans. I just want to put that out there.
Bo, well, are you gonna take Dave down to Little Italy?
No, I mean,
Mason Sons.
That's right. I there were no fireworks shot off my car last night, so I don't feel like I can give him the full effect. The last thing that we need to do, like, you know, is an order of introduction before we get to the topic is. So I'm sure some people, Dave, are wondering, so you're a Patriots fan, so like, how can you really talk about theology without a sold in?
Right, exactly. Well, actually, I sold out. And, so I will say this.
You have Boston connections.
Well, I grew up in New England. And I grew up in the lean years. I grew up with Steve Grogan and Tony Eason.
The weird Patriot,
full-bodied.
Look,
I was all excited in 1985 when the Bears basically used us as, you know, they're
blowing their nose.
Yeah. I wanted to say something else. We're on Catholic.
Yeah, that's right.
And so my point is that, you know, I was a long-suffering New England fan, and then, you know, Tom Brady comes and Belichick and all that stuff. And granted, look, are these guys the most virtuous guys in the world? In one way, being in New Orleans, I mean, honestly, Drew Brees is such an awesome guy, such a class act. Every Thursday night, he dines in a restaurant down, you know, with his family. Nobody bothers him. Everybody knows it because he's just really part of the community. So, whereas Tom Brady had, like, you know, a $10 million penthouse on, like, common, you know, with, like, guards. And
has people, like, test the kale before he eats it in a smoothie.
Right. And I don't trust anybody who doesn't drink coffee.
That's true.
And he's never drank coffee, so, you know. At the same time, and I get it. I get the Patriot fatigue. I mean, 9 years in the AFC Championship. They've been in, like, the last five Super Bowls. Like, I hate them, too, to an extent. So, I'm glad I'm in New Orleans because, actually, if it was a Pats New Orleans Super Bowl, I'm going to Saints.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't expecting to bring this up, but I like this idea of, what did you call it? Patriot, not Patriot overload.
Fatigue.
Yeah.
There's a way in which, so we're going to talk about John Henry Newman because we have two Newman scholars on here, so it makes sense to talk about John Henry Newman. He has an upcoming canonization. It hasn't really been decided exactly when, but the idea is it's going to happen. The miracles are in, everything like this. There's a way in which, for some people, there's probably a Newman fatigue. He's sort of had a sort of big run, I would say, like, even in popular circles, right? You don't have to be a theologian. You've heard a lot about John Henry Newman. Part of this fatigue, though, it seems to me, is because we start to make a pigeonholed understanding of what John Henry Newman is. So Newman is an intellectual guy for people who like British literature and, I don't know, tea or something. We've made Newman into the stuff that people who have to deal with colleges must care about. And I think I heard from both of you express that if we're going to talk about canonizations and saints, we need to talk about the fullness of sanctity. And John Henry Newman was not just someone who cared exclusively about universities, but really did have a full life that really can speak to a lot of us about the different aspects of sanctity.
Yeah, and I think, you know, his birthday's coming up, so February 21st. I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be some maybe announcement around then. I don't know, but if you're hearing anything over at NINS, but my guess is they're going to try to hit it around one of his big days. So his big days are his anniversary of his death, which is August 11th. October 9th or 8th is his conversion to the church, which would be my guess is around the time when they want to do that, and then his birth is on the 21st. But no, I think that there is a Newman fatigue to an extent that, and if I mention it, I get two things, but I'm sure you get this too, which is people like, oh yeah, Newman centers like at colleges, or they're like, oh yeah, St. John Neumann, but like they'll call him Newman, and I'm like, no, that's the guy in Pennsylvania. He's a great saint. I love him too, but that's not Newman from England. And they're like, oh, okay, we're not interested then. So I get a lot of that. But you're right. There is like the Newman, the intellectual piece, and I just think that what's interesting is the two people that we know of, and Bud, you may know more about the case in Chicago, but I knew Deacon Jack Sullivan, the first miracle, because he was a deacon with my dad up in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And so, and Deacon Jack is one of the most salt of the earth guys. You know, in other words, he wasn't some big intellectual. He was actually watching EWTN, and Ian Carr was on there and said, by the way, pray for sanctity. And he had just become paralyzed, Deacon Jack had. And he prayed, and the next morning, he actually regained strength in his legs and started walking again, which the doctor was like, that's not, you can't do that. His spine was fused closed, so his nerves were actually cut off due to calcium deposits. And so they said, that's like, it's impossible. And it happened a couple more times. And so I don't know about the Chicago thing, but I do know that there was a deep following of Newman in Chicago. There's a deep community that follows Newman there, and that's where the National Association, the Newman Association of America. So I'm on the board of that, and Bud's presented there numerous times and been a part of that as well. That's where they started, and so there is a contingency of Newman people there. So it didn't surprise me that, but I do think what is surprising is that both of his miracles come in America. Newman had never visited here. He didn't really care about America because he was British, and he made that known. And so I do find that astounding that the two miracles that we can kind of verify his sanctity or sanctification in heaven is, you know, came over here.
Bud.
Yeah. no, sorry. I want to make sure I wasn't going to cut you off, Bo. No, I mean, a lot of what Dave said that well, if I could, for a moment, like, I've had people ask me for the inside scoop, and I may get in trouble for saying this, so don't spread this interview far and wide.
But on national, that we're doing live right now. Go ahead, Bud.
This isn't going to go up on the internet or anything, is it?
Literally later today, yes.
Okay, no, but, Dave, like, so the miracle in Chicago was confirmed, and I started, like, running through the streets of Pittsburgh, like, no, it's got to be canonized! And I got a phone call from someone in England. And to be quite honest, like, there's this kind of trend in Rome to try to, they're bothered somewhat by movements like campaigning for a saint. And I know there's devotions to saints, but like, there's kind of this idea, and this is not to belittle the saint in any way, but like, St. Jose Maria Escriva, like, he was canonized so quickly, some think, because Opus Dei has a lot of money. And so, I do think with you, Dave, that Newman's going to be canonized October 9th of this year, but it's like we've been asked to sort of be quiet about it.
Sure.
So I don't know, but as I understand it, and I like you pointing to the birthday, I think Pope Francis in the very near future is going to get the recommendation from the Congregation for the Cause of Saints, and then that will be up to him at that point to decide, you know, what he wants to do with that.
Do you run into the fatigue stuff, though? Or maybe I'm wrong, and I just wanted to make a lame connection because we were talking about the Patriots. But to me, it seems like,
man,
there's something.
I can't catch a break.
Yeah.
Well, I hope there's not too much Newman fatigue because, you know, I'm the director of the Newman Institute here in Pittsburgh. But I know what you guys are saying, and I guess to get to the broader question about, like, what does sanctity look like, I think it's funny that Dave pointed out that the two miracles took place in America in the sense that Newman was so very British. And, like, you know, the great Catholic convert, Orestes Brownson, he was thrown off by the guys of the Oxford movement because to him, to be quite frank, they seemed like dandies. And so, like, what Newman would make, like, how he would make sense of, like, American Catholics, I think he would, like, to him, they would be sort of like the Irish, like, yeah, they're part of the church, but, you know,
but
you have to be pastorally sensitive. But he addressed this question of, so he once said, someone said to him, like, oh, you're going to be declared a saint someday. And Newman specifically said, I have nothing of a saint about me, as everyone knows. He says, saints are not literary men. They don't live in libraries. They don't write novels. And so he, of course, like, the great saints would say, like, I'm not a saint. You know, like, that's the humility that comes with it. But he actually broached the question in his own lifetime of, like, he thought, like, being sort of scholarly was inimical to what a saint would look like.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the thing that inspired me most about Newman, you know, obviously, I did a doctorate at Catholic U, and I studied under Father John Ford,
yeah.
And I mean, that was a tremendous blessing. I actually believe that Newman kind of steered all that stuff and made that happen for me. But I remember, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I was at the Newman Association conference, and I got up, and because everybody loves to kind of, like, you know, get into, like, the nitty gritty details of his life, because
yeah.
I don't know of any other saint that we have 31 volumes of his letters and diaries.
It's nuts, yeah.
And you know, but Numinists are a weird pack of people, and they like to get into, like, you know,
no,
like,
comment.
What he right? I mean, I'm. Fingers pointed at me, but, you know, but actually I got up and I remember saying one time, you know, because we had kind of it was an open session, and I just said to people, I said, yeah, but he was a doer. Like, yeah. he started a university, he started an oratory school, he started a, you know, an oratory in an old gin factory in Birmingham, and was serving the, you know, the kind of the working Midland poor who were getting ravaged by the coal industry.
Yeah.
And I said, this guy did not just sit in a study and do stuff. He actually, and he did, you know, he was a doer as much as a scholar. And I kept telling Newmanists, stop just going into the books. Like, you got to do things like Newman. I mean, that was, like, when you said, you know, president of the Newman idea. My biggest thing is, Bud, I think, is doing really great work keeping that scholarly piece of Newman alive, because that's essential. You can't have that. It'd just be like, oh yeah, Augustine wrote a couple things, but he was really a bishop. You
right.
can't just say that, right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, what I wanted to do with the Newman idea is I wanted to be the doing arm of Newman, and, like, going out and making things happen, because even as weird and small, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen his cassock, you know, at the one at the Pittsburgh Oratory, he's a tiny guy, but he did, like, big things. And so I've always been impressed by that, you know. But I don't know, you probably could speak to it better because you're a historian of Newman, but, you know, the Cadbury chocolate factory thing, do you know that story where, like, the women were in dispute with ownership, and so, like, they went to Newman? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome, though? Like, you know,
yeah.
The chocolate factory, like, so Newman's like Willy Wonka, you know. But, like, so Newman had to go down, like, he's like 85 years old, and he apparently hobbled down the hill with, like, a cane, and, you know, kind of gave a what for to the owners.
Cadbury people.
Yes. And gave what, and so that, because the women were on strike because they were burning themselves with chocolate or something, you know, something of that nature. But, you know, that's what I also think about, like, Newman's sanctity. Like, why did these women run up the hill to get, like, the old kind of cranky cardinal? And actually, he was actually, I think, very peaceful at that point in time in life. But, like, I just think those are the things of what makes him a saint. Is that he went down and spoke on behalf of these women to say, like, you know, they need to be paid a fair wage and, you know, let them stop being burned by cauldrons of chocolate.
That's a horrible way to get burnt, too, by the way. Just
talk to chocolate people, though. I was involved.
You're going to ruin chocolate for us, too.
No, but my
this
father.
Is UCG, we're going to, like, ruin the chocolate industry for
my
people.
My father sponsored a monastery in Wrentham, Massachusetts. I used to live, like, right next to it. And that was their thing. So they made chocolate. the women had horrendous burns. Really? Because they were doing, like, they're trying to keep it old, keep it real.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And even, like, so, because they didn't use modern equipment. I mean, some modern equipment. My dad was the one who was basically like, look, you guys need to get some, like, stuff so you're not.
Gloves?
Like, right.
Yeah.
No, but, yeah. Or just, like, let the machines deal with the hot, molten chocolate. Right, so yeah, women.
Dang.
Oh, they had like, I mean, we're talking like third degree awful burns.
So, Dave, little unknown story, but Bose had a horrific run in with hot chocolate. It was a fondue party gone wrong.
But that was not business, bud. That was just God punishing me for it. Actually, just to point this out, everyone knows that I'm a tubby lad, but it's mostly not sweets. It's pretty much just dead animals. I've burnt myself on a lot of pizza, though. But let's get back to this, right? So, Bud, are you going to, in the name of Newman, go like agitate for the French fry factories in Pittsburgh? No, well, go ahead, sorry.
No, I mean, Dave, like, bringing that up, it's great. And, you know, the great thing about studying history is putting flesh on the bones of some of these stories. And, like, Dave, I always think about someone like Cardinal Henry Manning. And he's sort of a villain in the stories of the 19th
story,
century.
Right? Yeah.
Because he was, like, the guy at Vatican I that pressed so hard for the strongest definition of papal infallibility possible. And was sort of like a, like, you know, he was another convert from Anglicanism and sometimes butted heads with Newman's. I started reading about his life, and this guy was, like, organizing strikes among dock workers. So he's, like, he was, like, orthodox to the T, you know, or to the O. But then, like, he commanded this huge, like, social, like, he could sort of, like, just shut down the town by organizing labor. And I don't know, like, there's a part of me that I do get a little bit frustrated, like, if someone's too ivory tower. I'm like, you can't hold a candle to Cardinal Manning. But, you know, Newman was the same way. You brought up the Cadbury egg thing, and we forgot to tell you beforehand we're actually not allowed to mention them on air.
No.
Well, you remember that Easter show where we, like, really, like, made too many jokes about him?
Right.
But,
right, Newman, yeah. This, yeah. We're going to get a season decision.
Oh, there's
at some
a
point.
Lawyer at the door of an injunction already.
Right, with bunny ears, yes. Yeah.
No, but Newman, for him, you know, like, Dave, when we were preparing for this interview, I was looking back at his Anglican period, and Newman as an Anglican minister was already, like, he was really bothered that there was no tradition, really, of regular confession, because he was like, how am I supposed to care for souls? But he had this real visceral sense of, like, the eternal nature of the person and that he had the care of souls in his hands. And so if you look at his journals from that period, they're so meticulous in terms of, like, the kind of time he was spending each day, like, out in the community with working families.
Well, you know, and that's where it kind of got him over his Calvinist hangover when he was kind of dealing with women and men on their deathbeds. And they were, you know, just what you're saying, you know, it's like he was in his, like, 20s, like, kind of a deacon right in his early priesthood at St. Clement's. And, you know, he was dealing with the butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers of Oxford and realizing, like, this whole, like, you're damned or you're saved and all this, like, this clean line. He's like, it's actually really messy when you start listening to people's stories and the sorrows and the things that they bring to it. And that had a profound impact on Newman's spirituality of, like, so wait a minute, holiness is a messy affair, but there has to be, like, an honesty in the whole process because you, like, there is no kind of, like, magic bullet, like, you know, name it, claim it, I'm saved on upon my yes type deal.
Yes, Y-A-S-S, yes.
Calvinist hangover is the worst kind of hangover.
I'm sorry.
It's worse than the Natty Light hangover.
No. Like, that'd be great. That could be an entire show is we're, like, ranking which denominations have the worst hangovers. You're like, Baptist hangovers because, you know, you're not used to the liquor, right? this can only go worse, so we'll stop there. But, yeah, Calvinist hangover is the worst sort of hangovers that there are. But, no, I see your point to say that that a lot of people would almost use the sort of force of their intellectual, whatever they hold at that time, and use it as a bludgeon in their life. They're like, well, it has to be this way, you know, damn the torpedoes about what I'm seeing. But Newman, as much as people want to put him in ivory tower, was very much a man who had his soul open to allowing the experiences he had to shape the reality of what he saw, and then try to make actual changes about that. We're coming up to the break. When we get back, we'll talk more about this. This is all great. Stories that I've never heard of, Cadbury Egg and all. This is The Uncommon Good. We'll be back after these messages. But if you really need to make comments or like what you, I mean, I guess if Cadbury Eggs needs to reach us, one way they can is through social media. You can go to Iowa Catholic Radio on Facebook, IA Catholic Radio on Twitter. If you want to interact with Iowa Catholic Radio, tell us what's going on. Want to know if a certain food that you really like is tainted by horrible practices towards its workers, for instance, burning their hands. We don't know all of those, but we know people like Dave. We could probably check for you. And if you want to keep up with events for Iowa Catholic Radio, you can always sign up for our email. All of this at iowacatholicradio.com. So we want to be interactive. We want to be able to let you know what's going on at the station and the diocese. So please check us out there. This is The Uncommon Good. We'll be back after this break.
Thank you to Confluence Brewing Company for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Confluence Brewing Company, brewed locally and featuring regular, seasonal, and limited release beers available in their tap room and at local stores, bars, and restaurants. Confluence has a beer garden for you, your family, and friends to enjoy. Confluence Brewing Company is located at 1235 Thomas Beck Road off the bike trail south of Grays Lake and online at confluencebrewing.com. Confluence Brewing Company, where good things come together, ingredients, ideas, and friends.
Why give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? To help families who want to send their kids to our Catholic schools and just can't afford it. Some donors like to give part or all of their required minimum distribution from their retirement account. The 65% Iowa tax credit you receive are a tax benefit you just don't want to pass up. Ask your tax advisor or contact us online, ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Support for The Uncommon Good is provided by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is an industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great.
Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies including ink, toner, paper, or printers. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement.
Cartridge World, your low-cost, environmentally friendly printing experts, 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online at cartridgeworld.com.
Thank you to SpecUSA for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. SpecUSA, we make concrete comfortable. The third annual Green Gala is February 9th. St. Luke the Evangelist Catholic School is hosting an evening of dinner, dancing, wine pool, live auction, and silent auction. The event will be held at the Courtyard by Marriott in Ankeny, 2405 Southeast Creekview Drive. Tickets are available through the St. Luke the Evangelist Catholic School website. All proceeds benefit St. Luke the Evangelist Catholic School. Thank you, Spec USA, for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Back with The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Marr, we have in studio from Nolens, Dr. Dave Dalio, president of the Newman Idea faculty at Holy Cross, knower of all factory incidents with desserts. Dave, thanks for coming back on the show.
Just look, you're coming down to New Orleans.
Right. You don't like Nolens?
Not the way you say it.
No, I know. I like massacring it.
They're going to slap you.
No, the best is if you go to Louisville and then like come up with like Louisville? The worst like... Well, Louisville's even understandable. Like, make it like a horrible fake Southern accent.
Louisville.
Like, Laval. And they're like, what are you throwing up?
Well, now there, look, there are different, like, New Orleans is like the kind of, you know, you say New Orleans and everybody cocks their head or they just dismiss you right away and they're just not, they're going to ignore you.
But what if you like Willie Nelson's song?
No, now, look, in a song, even, like, you know what it means to miss New Orleans, that's like Louis Armstrong, that's safe.
Yeah.
You can do New Orleans in a song, that's it, the only place.
Okay.
But if you're speaking to some, but look, my first year living down there, you know, there's one of these old dudes who, like, sat in, you know, basically his underwear and a t-shirt on his porch every night and, you know, just kind of made comments about anybody who passed by, and he, you know, great old guy.
The French Quarter uniform, right?
Right. Well, this, anyway, so he, but he, you know, now he would say Nolens.
Yeah.
So that would be, Nolens. Like, that would be a classic way of saying it, but, and my favorite way of saying it is, though, is New Orleans. So it's getting everything in there.
Just as much as possible.
No, but everybody has their own way.
Wait,
just except New Orleans.
But by the way, this is great. I should make another connection between where you're at and where Bud is. So the people, like, from the Confederacy of Dunces who talk, like, the sort of actual way, not, like, the sort of movie way, like you were saying earlier, where they airdrop someone from Birmingham into New Orleans. It's Yats, right?
Right, Yats.
And then, but what's the Pittsburgh people that start with the Y?
They say Yens.
The Yens.
Yens. And that's, I guess you don't any longer say Pittsburghers, you say Yenzers.
Yinzers.
Yeah, Yinzers and Yats. There's a lot of just Y's flying around this show.
Yes.
So, and I bet they're similar people, actually.
They all come from the same. It's like kind of Scotch-Irish Appalachian people who just descended from the hills at some point in time.
And decided they need a city and French fries and...
Right. No, the thing was with New Orleans, it was that, you know, New Orleans was a bigger port at one point in time than New York, than Ellis Island. And... the thing was, is that, you know, people would come into Ellis Island, they'd be like, oh, no, you're not healthy, go down to New Orleans. And so they would, like, so we got, like, Italians and Irish and, you know, at one point in time, the French Quarter was called Little Palermo. Oh, so there's, wow. Like, a whole section of the French Quarter where Decatur Street is it was all these Italian shops and there's still some places there, that really have that. And so you got, like, this mishmash of this kind of weird New Jersey. And the other thing was, is they brought down a bunch of the Irish from Philadelphia because they were the iron workers. Mm. So they did a lot of the repairing of the iron that's in New Orleans and what's called the Lower Garden District, which is right outside of the city. Yeah. So, I mean, that's why when you hear people like, hey, boys, how are you doing? Yeah. Like that, when you see that in like James Bond movies or something down, that is no one.
You're like, why is this guy from Dallas in New Orleans right now?
Right. No one. On I-10 or south of it, would ever have that accent? I mean, from Acadiana all the way to the east.
But do like people in like when Pittsburgh's in a movie, do Yinzers get all mad about them messing up Pittsburgh?
Yeah,
accents?
What is a Pittsburgh accent? That's a good question.
Well, I mean, you just like in movies, like they rub soot on the faces of the characters, and they're supposed to be from Pittsburgh, but no,
hacking up lung coughs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Dave and I talked about this when he was in town. I mean, we're both sort of biased, but one thing that I think we both can safely say about Pittsburgh and Nolens is, you know, like you have cities like San Francisco, D.C., I would say even Atlanta at this point, and they're very transient, and they're sort of becoming more and more cosmopolitan. Mm. I think both of the cities that we reside in, Dave, still have this kind of, like, authenticity. I don't know, Pittsburgh... out of any city in America over so many million people, it has the highest proportion of those who grew up here and stayed or came back. So, it did, you know, I feel like in some ways it hasn't been completely ruined yet.
No, Pittsburgh has character. That's what I'm saying. I'd go back in a heartbeat. It was a really, really great place. And, you know, you're right. Like, I lived in D.C. for 6 years, and I just couldn't wait to leave. And when I got to New Orleans, and it was like a community, and people like knew who they were and what it was about, like, I was like, yeah, this is a good place.
You know, if we had more time, we'd make sure to give you a pork tenderloin Iowa style, which means it's thin and breaded. And then the Italians here all swear by their cavatelli.
Okay.
Which is very specific.
Well, I promise I will be back up here.
Good.
This is... just
Field of Dreams, buddy.
Yeah, maybe every Tuesday night
we could Bridges of Madison County and John Wayne. I mean, like all within minutes, and we haven't shown you John Wayne's birthplace.
Well, I also want to go to like a hog factory. I want to see how like corn and ethanol is made.
We do that in our backyard.
Right, this is that's what yes. I'm trying to.
We
say.
Got our ethanol. Our ethanol. Well, we Newman. Let's get to Newman steam. While we have time.
Oh, yeah, right. Newman. Right.
talking about the salt of the earth. Like we don't have to set forth too much more evidence of Newman's sanctity, but I would throw one further story out there, and like one letter that struck me is when Newman was he had an exchange with one of the oratorians, and this oratorian, to be quite honest, was just like really forthright about his feelings of like ministering to poor Irish who lived in Birmingham, and the guy said like, look, I can't hear confessions because the smell is so bad. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to be dispensed from hearing the confessions of Irish people. And he also was, he was worried about getting lice. And Newman, you know, he just had no time for this. And I'm not going out of my way to pick on the Irish. That was just like the historical circumstances.
Everybody
there.
Smelled bad. I mean, up to 100 years ago, people reeked. Come on, let's note. No teeth brush, no toothbrush, no. I mean, come on.
That's right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, but I think you see there, like, the, I guess I would say, the incarnational approach of Newman to ministry, and he didn't sever the intellectual and the pastoral. But this, I guess what I would, I'd kick the ball back to you guys, because this question comes up not only in relation to Newman, but saints in general, where, you know, someone like Dorothy Day, who I admired a great deal, she said something like, don't call me a saint, I don't want to be dismissed so easily. And for her, the way that sainthood was sort of like practiced on a popular level made it this kind of abstract, like, well, the saints are these like glorious figures out there that we don't really have to imitate because we could never get to that level anyway.
Well, you know where I take my note from, and it's easy enough to find this, so maybe this might be an interesting practice for people. But I go look at the old Roman martyrology, which there you can like get at 99 cents on Kindle on Amazon. I think there's free versions of it. And it's the list of the day of all the saints. And what's always interesting, right, is so you go like, oh, and not to pick on people too much, but there's sort of like a modern version where you get like three paragraphs, and it's very much like, well, this is what this saint's about, and this is how they're a super cool action hero, and this is how you should imitate them. What's funny in the Roman martyrology is like, this is what this person did. They did this pretty well. This is when they died. And the preface is always like, the cooler death you have, the more space you get in the Roman martyrology.
Tigers rip them apart.
Right.
He's tops.
And then like this other guy, they're like, yeah, he preached the gospel. It was nice. But let's get back to this guy that like literally had his head chopped off
with like gladiators.
Yeah, and right. So there's a way in which, you know, for us it all seems like maybe morbid, but the idea that like these people who we actually don't know much about their lives except for they had this horrific death for the sake of the saints, I think that that's both that's Dorothy Day, all these things that it reminds, right? It's dying to yourself. Sainthood is dying to yourself, either literally dying because you're a martyr or dying to yourself. So Newman obviously does all sorts of stuff great that we want to imitate, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about him, but the death to himself, that wrangling with himself, and maybe that's the crown jewel of sort of his account of his conversion, is that death to himself, that it's really a long list of little deaths.
If you had any idea of the power he wielded as an Oxford Don, I mean, he had, his whole life was in front of him. He was at the top of the heap. I mean, if you have a fellowship at an Oxford college, that's it. You're set for life financially. You can set your family off. I mean, everything. The fact that he walked away from it says a lot to me about, because, you know, sanctity has nothing to do with the guy anyways. It has to do with God is blessing him with a certain grace and he's walking with it. He's accepting it and living it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Newman would admit, more than, and we, you know, if you read his letters and diaries, the guy fell many times and he stumbled and he was peevish in moments and he got upset and all these things that you would say, well, that's not. But at the same time, like when you watch him rebound and watch how God's grace kind of fulfills and lifts him up, that's what it's all about anyways. I mean, the thing is we keep focusing on, like, the person. Like, I could never live with it. You're right, because God could only be the person to lift you up to live that way anyways. You know, Newman's inspired me to start reading a lot about St. Philip Neri, and I'm reading Paul Turk's book, and that was because I was at the oratory, like, worshiping every day this summer. And so I'm a totally Neri-phile now. And the thing was, is I'm not a sainty guy. I'm not like, you know, I'm reading the lives of saints. But I can only read short bursts of the book because it's like you feel so bad about your life and who you are afterwards that like you – but then I say it's not about St. Philip. It's about what God can do. And so it turns me around to say to pray to God, hey, can you lift me up that way too? What can I – because I can't do anything.
Right.
I can't do it. He can only put it there in front of me and I got to like – I have to receive it. But I can't say like, God, I'm going to make myself morally better today, you know?
I'm just going to flip that switch, God.
No, but
you guys, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what sainthood in the whole idea is about. And I think if you read Newman's prayers and stuff, he's a lot like, you know, he's saying, look, I am a, you know, I'm a lower than low turd, and lift me up. I mean, when you see him in those lights, then you see that's what sanctity is about.
Yeah, amen.
Don't you guys think, like, in these conversations, like, a kind of Pelagianism can enter back into it?
Yeah.
Where it's weird, because it's like, We want to put saints on a pedestal, then we do it, and we feel guilty, and we're sort of like, people have to circle back and say, like, well, Newman was very human. But, Bo, I think you were the one that introduced me to the quote, and it might have originated with Eamon Duffy, but that the saints are like the fingers of God touching the earth, you know?
Right.
And we forget that, like, if our vision is to be a saint, we're called to cooperate with grace, but like Dave's saying, it's so easy to fall into that, like, you know, sort of like you feel bad for emulating the Saints because it's like, you know what I'm saying? There's that tension there, and then it becomes sort of like a matter of just trying hard enough. And that's not what it's about at all.
Yeah, Eamon Duffy has a fantastic essay about the Saints, and he goes, if you read what the medievals thought of Saints, it would seem alien to most modern Catholics because most modern Catholics are geared up to hear the Saints like they're the Michael Jordans of the spiritual life.
Right.
But what actually, like, you know, if you can be like Mike if you just tried hard, but the medievals always were astounded by their saints. The way that they talked about the saints was almost like they were aliens, right? It was God chose these vessels to be the way that he touched it with his grace. And awe and terror, actually, were much more close to what they were getting at. Dave, we've loved having you on the show. And like you said, we're going to get you back to Iowa. We're going to get you back on the show. Thanks for coming on the show. We actually have a special little segment where we're going to be talking to. We got a bunch of folks talking about sanctified people that I could never pull off. They're down in South Africa right now.
Neat.
And they're going to be on the show. So real quick, let people know where they can go learn more about the Newman Idea and follow your work.
Well, www.newmanidea.org. And we're trying to put Newman into play. And the way we're trying to do it is through education. And so come and check out what we're doing. And, you know, you can, my contact information and all that stuff's there. You can even join and become a member of the Newman Idea. And we're looking for ways to renew Catholic education in this country. So if you got ideas, we want to listen.
Dave, thanks for coming on the show. It's been an honor. We'll get you on again, buddy.
Awesome. Great, guys.
All right. So, Bud, are you ready to go international with the show?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, who's on the line?
Deacon T.
Deacon T. This is a character we all know, Deacon Tony Valdez. But he's in a slightly different locale. Usually he's a few feet. I could throw a baseball at him. Now that's going to be a little bit different. So he's on air, Deacon T. Deacon, you hear us?
Yeah.
You're giving us the signal.
That's right. We are here enjoying the African sunset right now. Sun is going down. It's a beautiful evening. We don't have a thunderstorm yet today, and maybe we'll get through the day without one.
Yeah, I've heard.
They got some boomers down here.
Yeah, I heard that you got to practice a little early. We've been talking about sanctification, that you guys got to go a little bit through it because you got to have, what, like a day without electricity down there?
Yeah, about 2 days, actually. And talk about African heat and humidity. Ooh. Yeah, it was kind of eye-opening, shall we say.
Because it's the middle of summer down there, right? Because it's a balmy like 20 here. I'm thinking it's a little more down there.
Yeah, we were about 75 degrees warmer than you today, so that's where we were.
So
let me turn you over, if you don't mind, to Dr. Jim Blessman, and we'll get him on. And you can talk to him, ask him a few questions about how it's going.
Sounds great. You keep going well. Stay cool enough down there, Deacon T. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning. Dr. Blessman here.
Hello, Dr. Blessman. So for the folks who might not know, can you just tell us really briefly what's everybody doing down there? What's the Iowa Catholic Radio crew doing? And just tell us a little bit about the ministry down there.
They're working really hard. In fact, today was probably our longest and hardest day. We put together five toilets for about 100 preschool children. We did all the plumbing for that, even though they're waterless toilets. But lots of physical work that we got accomplished. We gave out shoes to about 125-30 impoverished elementary or primary school children at a beautiful private Catholic school, similar to St. Francis School in West Des Moines. We also attended a mass that was just a very moving experience for all of us. There were over 700 children in the church, and it was above and beyond standing room only. The children were just packed into every little nook and cranny for the mass, but it was a great experience.
And so for people, I mean, you know, they've probably heard some of our advertisements. They know, they've heard Blessman Ministry talked about in the shows. What is it that people, for instance, if they themselves ever volunteered and went down to your ministries in South Africa, or if they donated, what is it that volunteer resources goes to?
Explain again. I could hear you, but explain one more time.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying, when people donate to Blessed Ministries, what is it that their money goes to so they can...
The money goes to help the children here. We have large feeding programs that the money's used for, and St. Francis of Assisi donates significant money to help us build the toilets. We're drilling wells at Hy-Vee in Iowa area. Has been incredibly helpful. And let me just put Father Ray on. He's been here 5 times, and he can tell you what his parishioners have done. They just have an incredible experience.
Fantastic. Thank you for talking with us, Dr. Blessman.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, hello, Father Ray here.
Hey, Father Ray. How's everything going with the thunderstorms and the heat and everything?
Well, Ted, the trip's going fine. You can mention thunderstorms. We get a little rain here every time we're here, but this year the thunderstorms are the most severe that I experienced here. And it's knocked power out. We've had spotty internet access because of the weather. But we're through. We've had the storms overnight, but we haven't had them during the day. So they haven't affected any of our mission work or our outreaches.
Well, so as Dr. Blessman said, you've been there 5 times at least. So what is it that keeps bringing you back to Blessman Ministries and helping out down there?
Yeah, what is it? Right, this is my 5th trip here. I really like working with the people here. There's wonderful people in South Africa, and we do some marvelous work here, and I really, really like coming back and celebrating the liturgies here. We do Mass. Every year we do Mass here at least once, maybe twice, in local congregations, local parishes, sometimes in these schools here. And we'll see how the people worship here. A cappella singing with no missalettes, no books, no hymnals. And they come early, they stay late, and it's vibrant, alive liturgies. So that's one of the reasons that keeps me coming back.
Well, it's always exciting to know that through the bonds of the church, that we can have relationships like this. All these different groups in Iowa, Hy-Vee, the faithful at your parish, here at Iowa Catholic Radio. If there's one more thing that you wanted to pitch to people to go look at Blessed Ministries or to think about helping with Blessed Ministries, any last words to put in people's minds to go look at this fantastic partnership that we've had with Blessed Ministries?
Well, we have definitely a good partnership with them, and God Catholic Radio is part of this partnership. Look them up on their websites. Check out the work they do. They do a lot of work with impoverished children. Get the children fed, get them glasses, get them shoes. And we're always in there. South Africa is a Christian country. So we continue to bring the gospel here and preach Jesus to them. And if people would like to get involved in doing good, so doing the social justice work of the church, we're doing it here in South Africa.
Well, Father, we appreciate it so much. Thank everybody who was on the line with us, you, Dr. Blessman, Deacon Tony. You guys, God bless, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for calling into the show.
You're welcome, amen. God bless you. Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Well, folks, that wraps us up here for the Uncommon Good. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, in our families, our city, our state, our nation, the entire world, galaxies, universes, multiverses, whatever there is. This is the Uncommon Good. We'll be back next week. But it's exciting to hear people doing ministry and with the relationship with Iowa Catholic Radio and the diocese all the way halfway across the world. But certainly there's things that people can do here as well. So, for instance, if they're listening to Iowa Catholic Radio, what are things they can get involved with just by listening throughout the day?
Well, you regularly mention this, but if folks are looking for a small way to do something big, I would encourage them to like Iowa Catholic Radio on Facebook or on Twitter. It seems like a small gesture, but it really helps spread the word. You can also mark your day with pray just by listening. So pray the rosary daily at 5:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and then again at 9:30 p.m. and we have the Angelus at 6 each morning.
So out and about in the diocese, we have the Man Up West Power Lunch at St. Francis of Assisi, Friday, February 8th at noon. Enjoy a free lunch provided by Chick-fil-A and find out about masculinity and virtue with Bo Bonner and Dr. Cheryl Overmeyer. I've heard of that Bo Bonner guy on The Uncommon Good. Dr. Cheryl Overmeyer, a wonderful friend of ours, a professor up at DePaul University, godmother to my oldest son, and a wonderful theologian. You can register at iowacatholicradio.com. You can do the Ladies' Mosaic Luncheon, Thursday, February 21st at St. Augustine at 11:30. Enjoy a complimentary lunch with your friends while listening to an engaging talk by international speaker and author John Pridmore. Again, Iowa Catholic Radio, you can go on to register. And finally, the Iowa Catholic Radio Men's Conference, May 30th at St. Francis of Assisi. Speakers are Deacon Harold Burke, Sivers, author, evangelist, preacher, co-host on EWTN's Morning Glory, heard weekly on Iowa Catholic Radio, and Deacon Randy Keel, marriage and family counselor. Once more, register and find out more information at iowacatholicradio.com. As always, we like to point out that Iowa Catholic Radio is a ministry not only of the people speaking on the air, it's not only people behind the boards or in the offices, but it's a ministry of everyone here. Your donations allow us to keep the Word of God being praised and talked about and mulled over and discussed on air 24/7 going through walls. So if you have it in your heart, please make sure to make donations at iowacatholicradio.com. Bud, take care, dude.
All right, that was a lot of fun. I'll talk to you next week, Bo.
This is the Uncommon Good. We'll be back next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard every week on wonderful Catholic stations like this one and anytime on podcast. Just search for The Uncommon Good.